It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. Now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you, it's Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, John Clark. With me is 87% always is my co-host,
Steven Brown.
Man, that theme song was loud this week.
That really, really, really is loud. It's different every time.
It is. That actually drives me crazy because Jeff Sussman, who is our announcer, who has a podcast called The Bat Signal, does it every week. And sometimes Jeff is very loud. And some weeks Jeff is really quiet. And I don't know what it is. I try not to mix those levels too much.
Yeah.
This is why an engineer would be good. Great to have somebody who knows, oh, it's got to be 0.5 decibels. Because I'm always like, is that right? I'm just tweaking now.
We don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're making it up as we go.
And you know what? Probably when you hear this, the theme song won't be that loud at all.
Probably, and you'll be like, what the fuck are they talking about?
And what the fuck are we talking about? We're going to talk about two things today.
Maybe more.
Well, with us, probably.
Two things on the agenda.
Yeah. First, the main topic we're going to get into is Jessica Jones, which is a new Netflix series, which took us both a couple of weeks, so we weren't quite on top of it.
No.
And that's the problem with these 13-episode series. Is it's one thing to go and see a movie that we can generate your opinion about it and then
do a show.
Talk about it, a day or so later, and then have it out on Monday. With these series, I think Daredevil took us about a week.
Yeah.
This took us longer, and we'll get into the reasons why. But also, first, because...
Because the internet demanded it.
Yeah, and because Marvel put out a Civil War trailer.
Yeah.
Which I don't even think we need to talk about. It looks amazing.
Yeah, I would say something I didn't know was that Superhero Hype, the website, did a thing I didn't know about because I don't follow them, even though I should because I have a job that requires knowledge of such things.
And you do a weekly podcast that talks about topical events.
Yeah, but, you know, I get all my news from you people, so what the fuck do I need a website for?
You get all your news from me.
Well, yeah, but Dave contributes sometimes, and every once in a while Stu has a nugget to give me. So apparently the Civil War trailer... In the first 24 hours, 1 million people or something insane. I don't know if that's a big enough number.
That's a very big number, yeah.
Maybe a billion. Who can say? Yeah. This article can. It was the highest. Basically, all they're saying is this is the trailer that has the highest views in the first 24 hours of the trailer being released. And suck it, DC, is basically my point.
Pretty much. And I don't think there's much to talk about with the Civil War trailer because I think we both think it's great.
It looks great.
It lived up to all expectations in my mind. The one thing I did not realize, and this might be the trailer misleading.
Yes.
But it seems like Civil War is about Bucky.
It
seems like Iron Man is taking the side of like,
I know
no,
what it's
we got to arrest this guy and put him on trial.
Here's exactly what happens in the movie. Mm-hmm. This is take it from a guy who's, I'm always right about these things. So,
Are you guessing or are you?
This is guessing.
Okay.
Yeah, with a very educated guess because I'll mark my words. You can go listen to the other shows we have. I've never been wrong.
No, but we can say this is not spoilers because you're just saying things.
I'm a reasonably intelligent person being informed about what's happening. Here's what's going to happen.
We'll find out how intelligent in about a minute.
Oh my God, no. Wait for 5 months when that movie comes out and then we'll see who's right. All right, here's what's going to happen. Bucky is going to be running around blowing stuff up all over the world. Amongst these places, he's going to go to Wakanda and blow some shit up. Then Black Panther's going to be like, bring me that motherfucking guy. And Black Panther's going to go to get Bucky. Then Cap is going to be like, no, Bucky's been brainwashed, blah, blah, blah. Save him. And then Iron Man's going to be like, no, we're out of control. We did all this crazy stuff. We blew up that country because of Ultron. We were in North Korea blowing stuff up, and the Hulk destroyed South Africa. We got to stop being running around like cowboys, and he's going to get this registration act. And that's the movie.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're going to
fight. After this trailer, I don't even think it is about the registration act. It looked to me, because remember, we did see that scene at the end of Ant-Man.
Yes.
With Falcon and Cap, and Bucky's got his cyborg
hand caught in a
press, so he can't escape.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, well, we finally found him. Let's try to deprogram him.
Yeah.
And then I think S.H.I.E.L.D. and the government gets involved. They're like, oh, wait, that guy's been an assassin for like 60 years. Yeah. No, he's going to jail.
He killed Kennedy.
Yeah, and Iron Man is all about order. I mean, that was a lot of Age of Ultron, was like,
yeah.
I want to build a suit of armor around the world. And I think he's the one who's like, look, I'm not, he is getting to a point where he has a zero tolerance for threats.
Yeah, I like Iron Man. This is something they could have done better in the comic book Civil War, but it's like, Iron Man basically, like, remember, this guy forms the Avengers, and he's like, no, no, guys, I want the Hulk on the team. And everyone's like, no, no, the Hulk shouldn't be on the team. And Iron's like, no, but he really should be on the team. Iron Man wants everyone to be an Avenger. That's why, like, the first chance he gets, he signs up Spider-Man and, like, Wolverine and Luke Cage. It's like, everyone's an Avenger.
So, I remember that page, too, is very Bendis, where he's like, Spider-Man should be an Avenger. Why? Why not?
Why not?
He's like, Wolverine should be an Avenger. Wolverine's in the X-Men. Agging me in two things.
He can be an Avenger, too.
And I feel like that was Bendis' pitch to Joe Quesada.
Probably exactly how it happened. But so I like this idea that Iron Man would kind of want everyone to be on the team because it's more guys to go fight the aliens. So he should be for the Registration Act.
Yeah, which eventually becomes the Initiative.
Yes, and if you look at the trailer...
I'm not convinced that the Registration Act is going to be a thing in this movie. Well, I don't know that we need it, because the Avengers have been a part of S.H.I.E.L.D.
They don't have any secret identities either.
They don't have
None
any secret identities, no, in the MCU. And then, and right from the first film, they've been a part of S.H.I.E.L.D., so they're kind of a part of the government.
Yeah.
So we don't have what we have in the comic book universe of superheroes just running around over the place and no one knows who they are, except really for Daredevil at this point.
Yeah, well, by this time in the movie, Black Panther and Spider-Man, who's also confirmed this movie, will both have masks on, but you won't be able to tell who they are. So that might be cause for it. But the Thunderbolt Ross is in this trailer, and he slides...
Although one is a teenager in Queens,
yes,
and the other is the king of a country.
Right.
So he might be easier to figure out.
It might be easier to figure out who the Black Panther is, depending on how much they know about Wakanda.
Well, they already went there.
But Thunderbolt Ross, like, slides a thing towards Captain America, and it's the name of that country, Sokovia or whatever, that the Ultron blows up.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it says, like, the Sokovia incident or something. So that event will trigger the Civil War the registration.
There's been mentions of that event in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. already.
Yeah.
So we already know
they talk about it in... I think they mention it in Jessica Jones, too.
Yeah, I think they do.
I think it comes up. Or it's mentioned, or it's on a newspaper or something. I remember seeing it. So that trailer came out, widely considered awesome, and garners all this attention.
And no mention of Spider-Man whatsoever in
They're Luke Skywalkering him.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make that a thing.
That's a verb now.
That's a thing now, because he's not in the Star Wars trailer.
So that means everyone thinks that Spider-Man's really the villain?
Spider-Man's really... Luke Skywalker's really Spider-Man.
See, there's one person who knows Spider-Man's really the villain.
J. Jonah Jameson.
That's right.
Yes. He was
he's
right.
A wall-crawling menace!
So,
how much do you want to see J. Jonah Jameson in Civil War?
I kind of want to see, what's his name? J.K. Simmons play J. Jonah Jameson in forever, for the rest of his life.
Okay, if you're going to make a name a verb, I'm going to make a name a verb.
Yeah.
And they should Judy Dench J.K. Simmons.
What does that mean?
That means that Judy Dench was M when Pierce Brosnan was Bond, and then when Daniel Craig came in, they changed everything, but Judy Dench was still M, and they were just like, we're not even going to explain it.
They should
Judy Dench J.K. Simmons, and he should be... He should be J. Jonah Jameson as long as he wants.
Yes.
He's got an Oscar. He's doing well. He loves doing that.
He did it in the cartoon.
It's like Samuel L. Jackson loves doing Nick Fury.
Yeah. He was J. Jonah Jameson in the Avengers cartoon.
Yeah, and I believe in Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah, which I think is magical. Mm-hmm. So then DC's like, all right, we got to release a new trailer for Batman where we show new stuff.
Yeah, DC is the Burger King of superheroes.
Yeah.
Just every single time Marvel does something that's huge, DC just goes, Batman versus Superman.
Don't forget about us.
He's just a kid that raises his hand in the back of the class like, what about Batman versus Superman?
Yeah.
And we're like, oh yeah,
still coming.
We're doing that. Yeah. Right.
And I don't know, do you watch the trailer? You seen this?
Yes. Well, first, don't forget, first Monday there was a new commercial, which they showed.
Oh, I didn't see that.
They showed it during Gotham, and Gotham was already an hour of fucking craziness. As I said on this show, that I hate Watch Gotham, and I'll probably never quit it.
Now that you bought those seasons on Blu-ray.
I did. I bought season one in a Black Friday sale on Amazon.
You couldn't help yourself.
Well,
you're a sick man, John.
I know. Well, you said it to me. We were talking about it in the shop when the figures came out. And yeah. I was like, I probably won't get the figures. I don't like the show. And you said...
Are you still watching it?
Yeah. And I said, yeah, but I'm not really paying attention. I don't really care. And I said, I watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I have not bought the box sets for Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., even though I have every Marvel movie.
This is Batman,
and I watched. That's the thing.
That's the thing.
And what you said to me, he goes, now that DVD shelf in your house, what Batman?
The one with Birds of Prey on it. That one.
That's the one. It's like, what Batman do you not have on that shelf? And I went, yeah. Gotham.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's all it takes.
I have the 1940s serials. Yeah. I have Beware the Batman, the CG show that failed on Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
I have The Batman, which nobody understood why they did it. I have every season of Super Friends.
Yep.
Of course, I have, Adam West and Tim Burton and Christopher Nolan. I have everything.
Yeah.
And now the sick part of me, it's a very sick part of me. I got Gotham from Amazon. I watched all the extras on Amazon.
Yeah.
Did not watch a single goddamn episode. Put it back on the shelf. Stood back and looked at the shelf for about 2 minutes.
And you were just like, look at it.
And there was a little voice in my head that just went,
it's a little better now, isn't it?
Yeah. So during that episode of Gotham, they showed a new commercial for Batman vs. Superman, which is, it was a clip that kind of explained, it was a wider clip of Batman's in the desert, in like that desert gear, and he's tied up.
Is this when like Superman walks in and like pulls his hat off?
Yes.
So
by the way, it's a mask.
No, it goes on his head. It's a hat.
So everyone who wears a mask, so Spider-Man has a hat.
He has a hat sock.
Gambit has a hat sock.
That is also a hat sock.
Oh, by the way, this is neither here nor there, but Gambit, I always wondered how Jim Lee came up with that. I'm like, why does Gambit have a mask that doesn't do the one thing that a mask is supposed to do?
Yeah.
Gambit's like, I need to protect my identity, so I will cover the back of my hair.
I think Gambit's...
In my mind, Gambit is Mitch Hedberg.
Oh, yeah. That's actually not bad. Aww.
Sherry, I need to throw some cars at you.
I think maybe, I don't know.
Well, I figured out why. When I was reading the S.H.I.E.L.D. omnibus,
yeah,
Steranko had Nick Fury in a tactical outfit.
And that's what it
with
looked.
A head sock.
Oh,
and
there
then
it is.
When Jim Lee drew Nick Fury in X-Men, he drew him in that outfit. So Jim Lee's got a thing about that outfit.
He loves
so
it.
So as soon as he was allowed to design a character, he's like, he's wearing that.
He's gonna wear that cool thing that Nick Fury wore in the 70s.
And then Cyclops is gonna wear it with goggles on top of it.
But
anyway, but for Batman vs. Superman, Batman's tied up. He's in this desert gear. Superman flies in. Everybody kneels down. He walks up to Batman.
And those are like Superman soldiers. They have like S. They have his symbol on their arms.
Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah.
So he walks up to Batman, and he rips his mask off, and you see he's Ben Affleck, and then it stops.
Yeah.
And that's the whole clip. And what I really hated about it was through that entire clip, Batman is terrified.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the one thing you don't make Batman be. Batman can be sad and angry and confused and frustrated. Batman can even be happy
He's usually not wetting himself, though.
He has designed the worst fighting outfit ever just because people are scared of it. And the reason why most people are scared of it is they're terrified of a guy that would go out like that.
Yeah.
Because,
a guy who could go out there and, like, kick the shit out of the next 100
right.
guys.
They were he beats people up dressed like that.
Yeah.
Like, whenever you see the thugs in Gotham City, they almost never go, it's a real bat.
Yeah.
It's a 6-foot bat that's hitting me. No, they just go, look at that freak. Why is he, now he's hitting me. That's who Bruce Wayne is. When Batman is hit with fear gas.
Yeah, he's not that much of
he's always just kind of like drunk and hallucinating.
Yeah, he's more confused
than
scared.
He's always like, Alfred, spinning. He's never even scared. He's always like, oh. But like,
it's a lot of grunting and flailing.
In this clip, Ben Affleck is terrified of Superman, which is that rule they always do when they try to create the big new villain. of the first thing they have him do is beat up the established villain and then make everyone scared out of him. Like, the first appearance of Onslaught in X-Men was him beating up the Juggernaut.
Yeah.
And they're like, ooh, if you can beat up the Juggernaut.
He must be tough.
Yeah, and then it just makes the Juggernaut look like a wimp.
Yeah.
But that's what that clip was, and I was like, wow, I didn't enjoy that at all. And then this trailer came out.
Yeah, I mean, I watched that clip, and then I was like, oh, okay, they're going to release the trailer on Wednesday, and then I think it was like Friday before I remembered that that was a thing they were doing.
Yeah, it was like on Jimmy the Kimmel Tonight Show. I think Ben Affleck was on the Tonight Show. Well, because I think Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans were on Jimmy Kimmel.
Okay.
And showed the trailer, because Jimmy Kimmel's on ABC, which is owned by Disney.
Okay.
So Disney's going to give their big movie to their network.
Yeah.
You know, the same reason why the Muppets are owned by Disney and have a show on ABC.
Right.
So, of course, DC being the Burger King of comics was like, we'll go on NBC and show Batman. And that's what they did.
And that's where he got that chair.
And we have this trailer, which shows a lot more than any of the trailers.
It shows a lot of?
CG?
Fan fiction. This whole movie is like Zack Snyder's like Superman Batman fan fiction he probably wrote when he was 14. Batman's gonna have a trench coat and he's gonna be in the desert, and then Superman's gonna show up and he's gonna have all his super soldiers and he's gonna tear his mask off and he's gonna be a jerk.
Yeah, and Lex Luthor is gonna be a mix of the kid from The Social Network and Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Wonder Woman's gonna be in it.
And there's parademons like flying around in the desert. And Doomsday.
That was the big thing.
Who's
that,
like a clone of.
Oh, I don't know, but
Zod.
What surprised me about Doomsday was not that he's in it, because they're throwing everything into this thing. But the fact that we didn't know that until this trailer came out. The amount that Warner Brothers keeps talking about this movie.
Good job of
hiding. I would
have
thought like a year ago they'd be like, and Doomsday.
Yeah. It looks like a hot mess.
I am not crazy about the way it looks. It seems like, well, obviously this is, as much as they don't want to say it, it is the sequel to Man of Steel.
Yes.
And Man of Steel to me was this gray CG'd background where it just looked like people on green screens and just everything was gray around them. And it seems like from this trailer, it's a CG'd background, but now everything is brown.
Yeah.
Or at least everything in this trailer was brown. The first trailer was very gray.
Yeah.
But it like it doesn't have that sense of reality that and I hate comparing the Marvel movies to the DC movies because it's so easy and we keep doing it. But like Age of Ultron, tons of CG in there, flying robots around. But they really went to those countries. Like they really went to Korea.
Right.
You know, when they went to the made up country, they really went to a place. And from this trailer, like everything looked like green screen.
Yeah.
And which made me care even a little bit less.
Well, you know, we talked a little bit before, maybe, or maybe these are just conversations I had around the store. They all kind of blend together. But the Marvel's like, all right, we're going to do the Avengers Age of Ultron, and we're going to have the Vision. And in the comic books, he wears a green and yellow costume, and he has a red face, and he looks ridiculous. And they're like, all right, let's make the movie. All right, give him a red face, put him in a green and yellow costume, and then shine bright lights on him. That whole fight at the end of that movie takes place in broad daylight. The Vision is bright as hell, right. And he looks great.
Yeah.
Then DC
and,
is...
And makes him... And he's supposed to be artificial.
Yeah.
And by the way, he's supposed to be an artificial person.
Right.
And they didn't CG him.
Yeah, they did a mix of... I watched the DVD extras. They did a mix of, like, practical effects. He's in a real suit.
Yep.
He doesn't have a cape. The cape's CG.
And he's in real prosthetic. His face is real prosthetics.
Yeah.
It's like it's tweaked.
And they said they worked backwards to get some kind of like weird. It was like a weird blend, but he's in a real thing with like a whole thing. You can watch like the DVD thing. And then Superman is a ridiculous looking character in a bright blue and a bright red costume. And the DC's like, let's make the movie. We'll give him less bright colors and let's put all the scenes at nighttime or wash all them out in gray so you can't see how bright his costume
is. And it's raining.
And it's raining.
And that's a big thing. And the thing about darkness and rain is they hide CG really well.
Yeah.
Because they blur out the character just enough where you don't notice that it's not really an environment. And you see that happen a lot. You see that happening a lot in good movies that don't have a huge budget. Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
They're fighting in water
constantly.
And it's raining and it's night constantly. And that's because that movie's not that as big a movie as this.
Right.
That was like mid-budget movie. I mean, you look at the cast. The cast is like
a bunch of nobodies.
Charlie Day and Bern Gorman and the guy from Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
And Idris Elba. And
for 10 minutes.
Yeah. And it, but there's no huge, there's nobody huge in it.
Yeah.
Like, but you know, it's Guillermo del Toro going, I want a robot to fight a Godzilla, and I want a Godzilla to have a screwdriver for a face.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
and then they make that movie.
And a movie studio just went, all right, but not $100 million.
Right. Like,
that, but so it's always a way to kind of cheat CG.
Yeah.
And Marvel, you're right, Marvel's not doing that. Marvel's
right,
embracing
it. Practical effects, and you know, and that's the difference. It's like, you know, say what you will about Zack Snyder, say what you about Joss Whedon, but you can look, and the fan base for Joss Whedon is a little ridiculous. There's thousands, hundreds of millions of people that are like so in him, and they're smart. No matter where you come from, there's a project Joss Whedon did that you'll resonate with or right. that you'll get behind. Then you look
yeah,
at...
Yeah, there are Buffy fans, there are Firefly fans,
right.
there are Marvel
Serenity,
fans,
Marvel,
Dr.
All this
Horrible.
Stuff, all kinds of stuff. This guy's, you know, a well-educated, smart movie-making slash TV show-making guy. He wrote comic books. He's a well-rounded dude. Mm-hmm. Then you look...
He filmed Shakespeare in his house?
Right. This is the kind of guy we're talking about. Very talented, very smart guy. Then you say, all right, Zack Snyder, credentials. He made 300... He made Watchmen.
He made a remake of Dawn of the Dead.
A remake of Dawn of the Dead, and then he made that weird movie where girls were getting beat up by robots.
Sucker Punch.
Three of those movies, right? Or three of those
movies? And then Man of Steel.
And Man of Steel. So two of those
and
movies.
And Watchmen. Did you mention Watchmen?
Yeah, Watchmen at 300. Okay. Those two are based on comic books
right.
where he pretty much filmed them shot for shot. So right there, discount two of them. One of them is a remake of a movie that was phenomenally better, the original.
Yeah, the original is much better than that second
right,
one.
And this guy had all the technology and all the advancements today, so take that off the board. I watched Sucker Punch in theaters. It was awful. And
I never saw it.
Exactly. Neither did anyone else. Take that one off the board.
It looked to me like The Spirit. Did you ever see The Spirit?
No. And I didn't because I saw the trailer for it, and I was like, this is a movie I don't have to see.
Yeah, The Spirit was, if you don't
know.
That
was Frank Miller, right?
It was Frank Miller because Sin City was such a big hit, and Robert Rodriguez put Frank Miller's name on as co-director because basically Frank Miller drew the books. So,
yeah.
And Rodriguez says on the DVD, he basically made my movie on paper, so I just
which
did
is
that.
Essentially what Frank Miller did for 300 and Dave Gibbons did for Watchmen.
Right, and Rodriguez also let Frank Miller walk around the set and talk to Mickey Rourke.
Right.
So he was like, oh, he co-directed it. So then the studio was like, oh, then he's a director? What do you want to make? And he's like, I'd like to make a Will Eisner
masterpiece.
Because no one else is gonna.
Yeah.
And it's horrendous.
And no one will ever make one again.
And the thing about The Spirit that drives me crazy, did you ever see The Spirit?
No.
I saw it, I rented it from Netflix, and the thing about it is, you can tell Frank Miller is making his first movie, because every shot looks fantastic, and then people start talking and reacting to one another.
Yeah.
And it's the worst thing you've ever seen. And it's like Scarlett Johansson talking to Samuel Jackson, and you don't believe a word anyone's saying because he doesn't know how to talk to actors. So all he was doing was composing frames.
Yeah.
For 2 hours. Jesus. I mean, it looked like Sin City.
Yeah.
But could not deal with actors at all. And he hasn't made anything since. And you know, he's not in good health. No one knows why. There's never been an announcement of what he has. But,
yeah.
You know, the new Dark Knight series is out, and he neither wrote nor drew it.
Yeah, he did some kind of weird
thing. He did an insert in the middle.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, Zack Snyder sucks as a human being, is basically what I'm saying. And the fuck, DC was like, no, fuck that guy. DC was like, yeah, put that dumbass knucklehead in charge of all of our plans.
Yeah. Well, what it came down to, and God knows we probably talk about this once a month. What it came down to for Warner Brothers, who is clearly not listening to DC moved its entire company onto their lot.
Yeah.
So they could talk to them.
And they're still.
And it's clear that Jeff Johns is kind of like running behind the executives with a big pile of papers going like, hey guys, well, what about the Legion of Superheroes? You don't know who they are? Well, they live in the 30th century, but they're all superheroes. And like, and I'm sure he's being paid really well. And he's like, his career arc is fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, I'm certainly not disparaging Jeff Johns. I've loved a lot of his work, but it's clear that he's not being listened to.
Yeah.
It's been said that the Secret Origin arc that he wrote in Green Lantern
was supposed to be
was his treatment for the movie.
Yeah.
And then there was nothing like that in that movie. And Warner Brothers, the way Warner Brothers is looking at this is they made they knew Nolan was not interested in going. Nolan made a trilogy and got out.
Yeah.
Christian Bale made a trilogy and got out. They knew they couldn't use those movies to springboard
right.
the rest of their universe. So they put out Green Lantern and they put out Man of Steel. Green Lantern bombed and Man of Steel made some money, but less than Superman Returns.
Yeah.
But it did better than Green Lantern, so they were going that way. I think it had Green Lantern made money, they probably would have built the whole DC universe on Green Lantern, and it would have had a lot more jokes in it.
Yeah.
And Green Lantern is a terrible movie, but it's way more lighthearted than Man of Steel.
Yeah, out of the two, I think I'd have an easier time rewatching Green Lantern.
Green Lantern is one of those movies. I ended up buying it just to watch the extras, and it's one of those movies you go into with the best intentions. The first 20 minutes, you're like, why do I think this is so bad? And then by an hour, you're in the kitchen making food.
Yeah.
And you have not hit pause.
Yeah.
But yeah, I honestly think they created these two very different movies, completely different in tone. And they pushed the hell out of Green Lantern that summer.
It was ridiculous.
They thought that was going to be their big, big movie. And then the next year, they did Man of Steel, which, as you recall,
that was only a year later.
Yeah, I think it was 2012. As you recall, they marketed that as, Christopher Nolan producing it.
Yeah, I remember that.
So they marketed it as like, you like the Batman movies, well, now he's doing the Superman movies, and it's very clear that I believe Christopher Nolan produced Man of Steel in the same way Tim Burton produced Batman Forever.
Yeah.
Was, they asked him to do it, he said no.
Yeah.
And they were like, well,
can we pretty please put your name on it?
Put your name on it and we'll write you a check.
Yeah.
Or it the same way that the Coen brothers are producing the Fargo TV series.
Right.
Which I love, by the way.
Yeah.
But it's very clear Joel and Ethan Coen aren't coming down to watch Kirsten Dunst act.
Yeah.
So basically Zack Snyder made enough where they're letting him run with it. And I don't know. The interesting thing about this trailer to me was looking online how many people are excited now. Like, and people that we know and respect, not... I mean, there are people that have been excited from the moment they heard about it.
Yeah.
And, are not judging at all...
what they're seeing.
Yeah, what's involved. Did I like this trailer? Who's involved? Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? They're just excited. There's a lot of people that are excited. There's a movie with Batman and Superman in it. And that's fine. I hope they enjoy it.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people that were excited they made another Tron.
Did they?
They did. Tron Legacy.
Wait, like the new one they made?
The new one they made.
Yeah, they didn't make a sequel.
They haven't
made
a third one.
Oh, okay.
But there were people very excited there was just a new Tron.
Yeah.
So, there's people that... But it seems like this trailer has gotten a lot of people more excited.
Yeah, I mean, I think, something happened around the time, like, Mad Max came out, where it's like, if people get excited about something I'm not excited about, I'm like, well, it's like that Mad Max thing. I have no response. I'm just fucking dumbfounded.
Are you excited about Star Wars? Because everyone's excited about that.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's a thing that if I don't understand why people like it, I think I'm questioning it less. I'm like, well, they like it like they might, like people liked Mad Max. So, okay. It's like a joke I'm left out of, I guess.
It is 6 months later and you're still the only person I have met that doesn't like it.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I have not
I think
met,
I've had other people tell me they didn't like
I've
it.
I've met people who haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But I don't
And I haven't seen it twice. I will watch it again at some point.
I own it.
I'm not borrowing it.
No. Well, I bought the box set with all four of them. So.
Someday.
Maybe.
Maybe bring it by the store someday and I'll watch it.
Yeah. But... Yeah, I mean, I'm glad people are excited. We're only 2 months away from it coming out, so this is it. We're not going to get any more.
Yeah.
Which is why I think they saved Doomsday for this. And Doomsday looks like a big CG monster. Like, I was not...
He looks like somebody...
I was surprised that he's in it,
yeah.
But I was not overly impressed with the design. I was not like, oh my God,
Well, and to be clear... Doomsday's design is pretty dumb. He's just a rock monster. He's pretty much Gray Hulk with
stalactites.
With stalactites. Yeah. So
you know what I like?
What's that?
I liked the original Doomsday where he was like in that prison suit with the goggles.
Yeah.
I loved that because you didn't know what he was and then he would just beat the hell out of people. And Mattel did, when they finished doing their DC figures, they did like... 200 of their 6-inch DC figures. Yeah. And they ended it with Doomsday. And they
in his little suit?
And they had, this is what happened was, at San Diego, they opened up a subscription. Because at this point, stores weren't carrying the DC figures anymore. So they were just selling them online only. And then they weren't getting enough orders online. So they offered up a subscription. And they said, if enough people subscribe and pay up front, we'll send you a figure every month.
Yeah.
And they've been doing it with He-Man, and it's been successful.
Okay.
So they started doing it with DC. So then they didn't get enough subscriptions, but they almost got enough subscriptions. So they said, well, what we're going to do is we're going to make Doomsday, but we can't afford to make the Rock Monster with the stalactites because not enough of you are going to buy
it. Yeah.
But we can afford to do the prison suit one and basically repaint a Kilowog.
Yeah.
And give him like a new head. And so they made that one, which no one made.
Yeah.
And people were really disappointed. They're like, he didn't wear this long. I was very excited.
Yeah. You were like the one guy who was like, no, man, this is cool.
I was like, he's in the futuristic straitjacket.
Yeah, his like arms tied behind his back.
Yeah, arms tied behind his back, and he still beat up the whole Justice League with one arm.
Yeah.
And then the funny thing was that sold so well that they were like, oh, that's old enough that we'll make him again. Here's your Rock Monster.
So they gave like, so there's two versions.
So there's two versions. And then people that didn't want the first version at all and just bought it, be like, it's the only Doomsday I'm going to get. They were super angry.
And you were just like, no, I got both of them.
It's kind of like, if you were waiting for a Joker figure, if they say like the Batman animated series.
Yeah.
That's out now. That's great. They're all up on my shelf and I bought them all from you and I'm paying your rent with them.
Yes.
say there was no Joker yet.
Yeah.
And they'd made Riddler and Man-Bat and Bane and Scarecrow and Creeper and Roxy Rocket.
Yeah, I was going to say the girl on the rocket bike.
Yeah. And they hadn't made Joker. And then they were like, all right, we'll finally make Joker. But we're going to make the Joker that's swimming in the swimming pool at Harley and Ivy, wearing the ducky inflatable raft and sunglasses and his hair all wet.
Yeah. Not the Joker you saw.
Not in a purple
suit. In the 40 other episodes he appears
in. And that's going to be the only Joker we're going to make.
Yeah.
How would you feel about that?
I'd be a little salty about it.
And then about 6 months later, they were like, all right, here's the real Joker.
Here's the real one. They teased you.
That's what they did with Doomsday. But the Doomsday in this movie doesn't even look like that. I saw him quick. I watched the trailer once.
Yeah.
And it's like, it just seemed to lack definition. And I really think it comes down to just, as you said before, I think Warner Brothers just isn't really talking to the people at DC. Like, they're not talking to the people of like, well, the cool thing about Doomsday is he has bone bars over his eyes to protect his eyes.
Yeah.
And he's got his bone jaws become teeth.
Yeah.
And he's got this ponytail in the back and he's got stalactites coming out of shoulders, like shoulder pads.
Yeah.
That's the design. And, you know, Marvel Studios would have somebody like a Mark Millar or a Bendis going like, no, Iron Man's red and yellow.
Yeah.
You know?
He has to look like Iron Man.
Yeah. Thor doesn't have to wear a helmet, but he needs to have a red cape.
Yeah.
And I just, watching these trailers, I feel like nobody's doing that. Again, the one thing I'm interested in, and I don't even know why because I'm not that big a fan, I am very interested in Ben Affleck as Batman. And we get to see him as Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked it. He had one line I kind of liked of like, they're talking about Superman and Bruce Wayne goes, I don't know, I have a problem with people that dress like clowns.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. Okay, I'm all right with that. And again, it's like, they want to give Ben Affleck his own Batman movie?
Yeah.
I'll go.
I'm not going to get on the take a dump on Ben Affleck before you see the movie, because I kind of learned when Heath Ledger was cast as Joker, I was like, the guy from 10 Things I Hate About You? Like, what? And then he knocked it out of the park. So I learned that
with Michael Keaton.
Yeah, same thing, right? Everyone lost their marbles when Michael Keaton got cast.
And I remember going like, no, I like Michael Keaton. I think he'll do it.
Yeah. And that's what I think is like, I'm sure Ben Affleck will do a wonderful job as Batman. How hard is it to be Batman? So, but it's just like these movies are being headed up by a guy that just doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
I just get that vibe. And I'm not trying to trash it or hate on it. God knows the last thing I want is another bad Batman movie out there. Like, I'm not hoping this is bad.
It doesn't look good.
And, you know, Part of me was hoping Fantastic Four would be bad because I want Marvel Studios to get it back. And it was, and they canceled that sequel.
Yeah.
And so really it's a matter of time before Marvel gets it back. They just have to make it worthwhile for Fox.
Yeah.
They're probably going to have to pay through their nose. And,
probably.
And I'm guessing what Fox wants is they probably want like a better cut of the X-Men.
Right. Or X-Men because, like permanently.
Well, yeah. And they never want to let that go. And with the X-Men, you don't have to. Even though Hugh Jackman wants to retire as Wolverine, it's like, all right, we'll just keep making other teams then.
Yeah.
You know, they're talking about an X-Force movie. The Deadpool movie is coming out at the same time as Batman vs. Superman.
They could do New Mutants. They could do the original X-Men. Do anything.
That's the other weird thing about this Batman vs. Superman movie is that they keep building it up like, oh, it's going to be the big thing. Like, don't – why even care about Civil War? You've been seeing Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark like every year. Like, this is really Batman and Superman together. But they moved it from...
They moved it away.
They moved it away from Civil War. They were supposed to come out the same week.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, maybe you move it a month ahead. Maybe have it come out in like July. All of Nolan's movies came out in the middle of the summer. They weren't in May. They were like July.
Right.
They moved it to February.
Yep. And I think that's because I honestly think it's like they don't have the track record they know Marvel has. Every Marvel movie, this will be the 13th Marvel movie, I think.
Yeah.
Every one of them's made money. Even like the Hulk and Captain America and Thor made money. Mm-hmm. It's the highest grossing trailer that's ever been released. I think they kind of like shit their pants when Marvel picked the same week as them. So they're like, ah, move it.
Yeah, but to February? February's like a dumping ground.
Maybe like, they've seen an early cut of this movie and they're like, yeah, it's a bunch of bullshit.
That's what I wonder.
Yeah.
All right, that's enough bashing DC. We'll do that again in another 3 weeks, I'm sure, when they show us a costume or a set photo. Speaking of the set photo, we saw a very blurry set photo of Doctor Strange, so we know Benedict Cumberbatch is
he's currently doing the thing.
And he's got a big beard in it, so it looks like it's part of the origin tale.
Yeah.
So we don't know what he looks like as Doctor Strange.
Yeah, they had a set picture I did see of the guy who's playing Baron Mordo. He has like an unpronounceable name.
Oh yeah, he's the guy from 10 Years a Slave, and he was actually in Serenity. He's really good.
Yeah, I don't know how. I wouldn't even attempt to pronounce this guy's name. But he's in his like Baron Mordo gear walking in the
street. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, there's like two shots. It's like an arrow shot of them walking down the street. Benedict Cumberbatch is dressed in his like, I'm running around in Tibet with like poor people clothes on. And then Baron Mordo's wearing like what looks like Loki uniform. He's like looked in like a green tunic type deal.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. I think we're so far away from it that I don't think there's much to talk about. Other than
I'm excited they're doing a Doctor Strange movie,
and I like Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah,
he almost made me believe he was gone. I love Sherlock, and that's always my argument for people that bash Stephen Moffat about Doctor Who, and they're like, oh, he's terrible, he can't write. I'm like, nobody complains about Sherlock,
right? You don't hear nearly as much. Sherlock, pretty much across the board, no one really has anything bad to say about it. Everyone who watches it likes it.
And he's in charge of that, too.
Yeah, but people, like, hate watch Doctor Who.
Yeah, I still like it. It was interesting. But you know what? But speaking of Marvel, now that Benedict Cumberbatch is a part of the Marvel Universe, the next major thing in the Marvel Universe just launched, which is Jessica Jones.
Yes.
Which is a 13-episode series. It is the next series after Daredevil, so it's a sub-universe of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
Daredevil and Jessica Jones do exist in the same world as Guardians of the Galaxy and the Avengers, but they probably will not cross over, and they're much more street level. And this is... Daredevil blew us away in April.
Yeah.
When it saw it. I watched the whole series twice, and couldn't believe how good it was, and we covered that. Now, this is the first thing to be close to it. And this is kind of giving us the parameters of what the TV universe will be.
Yeah, it's interesting. They do, you know, Daredevil comes out and he doesn't really fight anybody with superpowers. They kind of hint at some supernatural things going on, like the old lady like knocks a guy out by like tapping him, and there's silly shit.
Which looks like will tie into the Iron Fist series that's coming.
Right.
Like, that'll be explained then. And there are little nods to each other.
Yeah, little Easter eggs and such.
Yeah, Rosario Dawson shows up very late in the series in the 12 episode. Okay, by the way, now we're going to talk about spoilers.
Yeah, this
so
will
if
be...
if you haven't watched Jessica Jones yet...
Don't listen anymore.
Yeah, and you want to, and you don't want spoilers... we're going to talk about all 13 episodes. Batman vs. Superman, oh, you were fine.
Yeah.
Civil War, Steven was just saying things.
I mean, I always say things.
But we're going to talk about the whole series.
Yeah.
But Rosario Dawson does show up as this Claire Temple, the night nurse, the same character she played in Daredevil, and mentions Daredevil.
Yes.
So we do live in the same universe, but we have a different showrunner. We have a different cast. We have a different writer. So it is its own show. It's basically like if you saw Iron Man and Captain America, they're different kinds of movies.
Yeah, and they might reference each other, talk about stuff that had happened. They don't go. You could really watch this without watching Daredevil because my roommates watched this, but not Daredevil. And, you know, they were just like, oh, who's the night nurse talking about? I'm like, Daredevil, you know, the show I've told you to watch for the last 8 months. So it does kind of stand on its own, which is nice. But this show does something Daredevil didn't do where it's like there's like three or four people running around with superpowers in this show now. Yeah. It's pretty wild. So they've got Jessica Jones, who, you know, has superpowers, but nothing on the level of, like,
yeah, now here's a
the
question.
Avengers.
Now, I have never read Alias. Steven came to the studio with the omnibus of Alias, which, yes. If you don't know, Alias is Jessica Jones, and obviously they couldn't call this show Alias, because
yes.
There was a show called Alias
yes.
that is no longer on, but is still well-known and streaming.
Yeah, my roommate thought that was a book based on that show, and I was like, no, this is the Jessica Jones book.
I actually thought the same thing when I saw the monthly comic back then, because this comic did run at
around the exact
the time
same
the Jennifer Garner show was on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I get where you could be confused. They're both like brunettes and, you know.
Yeah, and fighting
reasons.
People.
Yeah, there's fights. But yeah, Alias was like Bendis's. I don't know at what point this was coming out, but I think this is like before Ultimate Spider-Man. So this is like probably his big indie break in the comics. And it's about a made-up character that didn't exist before.
It's around the same time. It looks like the first issue is 2001.
Okay. So, yeah,
Ultimate
right around
Spider-Man's
the time Ultimate
2000.
Spider-Man. Yeah. So, but this is kind of like his pet project where he comes up with this character, Jessica Jones, who he kind of shoehorns into the Marvel Universe being like, yeah, this is a person that was around, tried being a superhero. There's 1,000 superheroes in the Marvel Universe. She didn't make it.
It's also the same time as The Century, which Marvel also shoehorned in. The first limited series of The Century was like, hey, remember all these great Silver Age Century books?
Right.
And they would get John Romita Sr. to draw them and like make it. And I think they actually pitched it. They pitched it with a hoax. They pitched it as like Stan created this character and never used him.
Right.
So we decided to use him, but he's Stan's character. And it turned out, no, it was Paul Jenkins.
Yeah,
character.
It was an interesting concept. This is doesn't so, really do tries to pull the wool over your eyes so much to be like, well, you know, this girl's been in the background the whole time because she never made it as a big character. She's not some super powerful person. She's a superhero for a little bit. She's not really good at it.
It seems like her powers in the series are she just has super strength, but she's not bulletproof.
Yeah.
And she seems like she's not invulnerable. She just seems like a little stronger.
Yeah, so I would say she's like, stronger than Captain America.
But not as strong as Spider-Man.
Right.
Yeah.
And or even as Luke Cage, I would say.
Right. Yeah. And but they show that in the show because Luke Cage is in this show.
Yeah, with superpowers.
To prep for his show, which is either the next one if it's not Daredevil season 2.
Daredevil season 2 is next in the spring. Luke
right,
because
they're
in the
shooting
fall.
That now. John Bernthal is playing the Punisher in that.
Yeah. That's well underway.
Yeah. So that'll be their next one. But Luke Cage is clearly shown as stronger than Jessica.
Yeah. And but she can fly. She's a little invulnerable. And that's about it. And so she's a superhero for a little bit. Things go terribly wrong. And then the book is just about her trying to get her life back together as like a private investigator.
Okay. And whereas the series is all about her trying to get revenge on the guy.
Yeah,
that
but
caused
the,
her trauma and stop him from killing other people.
Yeah, but the series and the show pretty much both start in the same place. She was a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really find out much about it until later into the show, and then all this stuff with the Purple Man has already happened to her.
Right, which is the same as... Would you say that the series is an adaptation of the book, or is it more like The Walking Dead, where they've taken the core premise, but they went wherever they wanted with it?
I'd say it's an adaptation just like, you know, the first Iron Man was. They kind of took mm-hmm. what makes sense, and they took what the bulk of the story was. And like, all right, she's a private eye. She was a superhero. She wasn't really good at it. This crazy shit happened with the Purple Man. That's pretty much your premise. Go from there. So, you know, so a lot of the stuff that, you know, and oh, and she dates Luke Cage or whatever. So a lot of that stuff's in the book, too. So it's pretty much an adaptation just like any of the other movies they've made where they don't stop themselves from doing different things. But for the most part, they know the different plot points they need to hit to move kind of the story along.
Okay, let's ask the obvious question that neither one of us has answered. What did you think of it?
I liked it, but I'm not sold on this girl as an actress.
On Kristen Ritter.
Yeah, and I've only seen her in the, what were you saying she was in?
She was in Breaking Bad.
She's like the girlfriend.
And I thought she was great in that. She had her own series, Don't Trust the Bee, in Apartment.
Oh, that's her
23,
too?
23.
Okay.
Which Netflix is now streaming because they have her in this new show. I never saw that.
Yeah.
I thought she was decent. I did think that the story kind of gave her like two emotions to play the entire time.
Yeah.
Like she didn't get to show a lot of range. So it's like she was always kind of troubled and dark.
Yeah.
And sarcastic.
Right.
And like no matter what happens, she kind of reacts as being troubled and dark and sarcastic.
Yeah.
And you know, when we do flashbacks with her, it's a different actress because she's much younger.
Right.
So we don't get to see the more vulnerable side, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of kept thinking I wish that it was, who's that actress that we were talking about at the shop the other day? I was like, oh, it should have been this girl. She's in that sex show. Masters
oh, Lizzie
of
Kaplan.
Yeah.
Yeah, the problem is Marvel Universe has already used Lizzie Kaplan in the S.H.I.E.L.D. short that was on one of the DVDs before Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I don't know
where
if
she
I'd
played
even
like a criminal.
That.
Yeah, no, it counts. Because she plays a criminal that steals a Chitauri weapon and starts robbing banks.
Yeah.
And the reason it counts is that the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent in that short is played by Titus Welliver.
Yeah.
Who, he was on Lost. He's in a lot of things. He shows up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as that character.
Yeah.
So there's continuity.
Yeah.
You just don't want it to be so you can do your friendship. And she's also on that show Masters of Sex now.
She couldn't do
so. She might not have been available.
Yeah. So this girl, like I said, she didn't do a bad job, but she was definitely, it was just the one thing where I kept being like, really, this girl? Like, this is the girl they went with? It's just like, the Luke Cage was great. The guy who played Purple Man, the Doctor Who guy.
Oh, David Tennant.
Creepy, but did perfect.
David Tennant is clearly the standout in this series.
Yeah, he kind of steals it, kind of like the guy who played Kingpin kind of stole that entire show.
Yeah, the difference is that Vincent D'Onofrio has been known since the 80s as being an actor with a lot of range.
Yeah,
you know, he was in Full Metal Jacket, and he played Orson Welles in Ed Wood, and he's the alien, he's the insect in the human skin in Men in Black 1. He's known for playing a wide
range.
He's
the guy in Jurassic World.
Yeah, he's in Jurassic. He's like an ex-military guy in Jurassic World. David Tennant is known as Doctor Who, and he's made a lot of other series at the BBC. He did Broadchurch, which was adapted into Grace Point, and he reprised his role. He did another show called The Escape Artist. He's like
constantly Barty Crouch
working.
In Harry Potter.
He's Barty Crouch, which he did before he was Doctor Who.
Oh, okay.
And he's in that movie for like 5 minutes. So, yeah. So he wasn't in that movie long enough when I started watching Doctor Who to go, oh, look, Barty Crouch is now the Doctor.
Yeah. I only know him as Barty Crouch after the fact, because like I've seen him as David Tennant, then I've rewatched Harry Potter and was like, oh
yeah, it's like
he's if you blink, you miss it.
Yeah, it's like Peter Capaldi in World War III, and World War Z. Sorry, he's at the end of World War Z. He's like one of the scientists that are trying to stop the zombies.
Oh my god!
Didn't really register. He's in it for 10 minutes, and then he's the Doctor. And you don't put them together.
Yeah,
David Tennant is like an enormously popular Doctor Who.
I'd say he's probably the most popular.
Yeah, I'd say he's neck and neck with Matt Smith. It's kind of a generational thing, depending on when you got into Doctor Who. And of course, he's the Doctor, which is a very certain type of heroic character.
Yeah.
Here, he plays as evil and sociopathic a character as you could possibly get.
Yeah,
and I would say the show is more about him than it is about Jessica.
Yeah, I think they do more about like what's going on with him than her. He's interesting because it's this Purple Man was like a character, like a Daredevil villain from like the 60s, just like a joke.
Yeah, I think he's like a Stan Lee. He goes
totally
back to
like
Age,
a lame villain.
And he's like, he has mind control powers, and it's like, We were joking about it at the shop where it's like, Stanley's like, I need a mind control guy. And Jack Kirby's like, why don't you use Mesmero? No, he's already fought the X-Men. Why don't you use Professor X? He is an X-Man. I don't know. You want to do a new guy? Yeah, let's do a new guy. He'll be purple.
Anything else? He's just a purple guy.
He's just a purple guy in a suit. Stan, I'm not even coloring this comic, so whatever you want to do.
It could be orange, green, pink, chartreuse.
You can make him zebra. I don't care.
So he's just like
he's a not even D-list.
Yeah.
There has never been. Has there been a Heroclix of the Purple
Yes.
Man? Okay. That's the only figure that. There's never been a Mini-Mate. There's never been a Marvel Legend.
And he's easy to do. You just get like a hammerhead and just paint him purple. Just throw him in a bucket of paint. I can make one now.
I have a big flat head.
I'll round it off with a Sharpie.
But Tennant is fantastic in this, and he shows a ton of range where he's not just evil,
yeah.
But like the reason I use sociopathic, he clearly cannot make a connection between his actions and consequences.
Yeah,
he cannot empathize with anybody in this. He forces people to kill themselves regularly.
Yeah.
And he says repeatedly when Jessica Jones confronts one of them, he's like, I haven't killed anyone. He's like, those people did it.
Yeah.
He will not. He is so disassociated himself.
Yeah. They do an interesting thing. And it's like the Kingpin, you know, they did all the stuff in the show that had never really been done that well in the comic. And in the show, they go and they talk like, look, I had my powers when I was like a kid. Imagine being a kid and having the powers so no matter what you tell people to do, they'll do it. And it kind of gives you the idea, you almost sympathize with the guy, and then like the next scene he steals it away from you.
They do a really good job at like bringing you close to sympathizing with him in like a Magneto kind of way.
Yeah.
And then he does something horrible again. There's an episode where like he says, well, you find out his parents experimented on him.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, his parents gave him those powers and then they tortured him. Oh, that's why. There's your backstory.
Yeah.
And, oh, maybe I sympathize with him. And then you meet the parents, and the parents were like, we accidentally gave him those powers, and we kept experimenting, trying to stop it.
Yeah.
Because he was killing people.
Right.
And then he kills them.
Yeah.
Like, on screen.
Yeah, I think he has them kill themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, well, a few times. He has the mother kill himself, and then he has the father kill himself, and Jessica stops him by knocking him out.
Yeah.
And then he has two other guys like dismember him.
It's disgusting.
It's yeah.
And it's graphic. The entire show is graphic.
It is graphic. It's as graphic as Daredevil.
Yeah,
definitely.
And
remember, Daredevil had Kingpin smash a guy's skull in a car door.
Right, or another guy run into a spike.
Yes.
I think they did a great job. They totally nailed the concept of what the comic was trying to do. And the comic was basically like, here, let's do a superhero where things didn't work out. Because the formula had been the same since the 60s, right? You get your superpowers in an accident, you become a superhero, some things go bad, but for the most part, you end up having a happy life, right? Spider-Man at this point was like married to a supermodel, so he's had a good run, you know? But then Jessica Jones like became a superhero, wasn't so great at it, ran into the Purple Man, her entire life got shut down. And that's what they do in the comic, and that's what they did in the show. And it's almost, they kind of hit on all the major things in the show, so it's like, what does another season look like? And I think that's why they kind of set up
will there be one? Because, I mean, we still have to do Luke Cage, we have to do Iron Fist, we're doing another Daredevil.
Defenders still.
And I didn't realize this until you lent me the omnibus, is that the omnibus is all there is. It's not like Daredevil where there's hundreds and hundreds of issues.
Right.
There's not another story they have.
Yeah, that's, I think, 25 issues, an annual in like a what if or something like this, maybe two.
It's almost
annuals.
Like a Vertigo series. It's like Preacher.
Real short. But after this, they did a book called The Pulse, where she gets hired by J. Jonah Jameson, and she just like runs around and writes articles about superheroes because she has like, all these connections.
That was like during Civil War, wasn't it?
Yeah, right around the time of Civil War.
And then she married Luke Cage, and Luke Cage was an Avenger, so she popped up in Avengers all the time. And that's the only place I ever read her.
Yeah.
And Bendis was writing that.
Yeah,
so.
He like shoehorned her into there just because,
that always happens. We've talked about that with team books, is that when a writer comes on, they always, always, always shove the character they created into there. Right. Even Grant Morrison put Aztec on the Justice League.
Yeah.
Because nobody's going to use this character. Their book is canceled. They have all these ideas for this character.
You got to use him somewhere.
And, hey, now I'm running a team book. Oh, I can put him in there.
Right. Or it's even like...
So, yeah, Jessica Jones shows up in Avengers a lot.
Yeah, and she was a regular person showing up in the Daredevil show. Which would totally fit for the next season because it's, all right, he's a detective or lawyer. She's a private investigator. It's like he'll hire her. She'll be his
and
lawyer.
And she will be in the Defenders. That's what we're all building towards.
Yeah, I would.
Okay, but here's my problem.
Yeah.
Once you mentioned private investigator, I have some serious problems with the show.
Yeah.
I think I liked it less than you. And by the end of it, I was starting to get irritated. Is that one of the tropes of story writing is that you can be a horrible person.
Yeah.
You can have fatal flaws. You can be mean. You can make major mistakes. But the one thing that American storytelling is, the people are always really good at their job.
Yeah.
They're always like, there's all these stories of like, oh, he's a whiz in his career, but his home life is a mess.
It's like Jessica, House.
Yeah, exactly. House is a perfect example of that.
He's a total scumbag, but he's the best doctor in the world.
And that show ran for 8 years and people loved it.
Yeah.
Jessica Jones is bad at her job, and she doesn't get any better. The first episode starts with her, like, doing surveillance and, like punching a guy... he proved that his wife is cheating on him, and then he accuses her, and she punches him and breaks the door.
Yeah.
That's the only time we really see her doing...
Private investigation.
The series ends with people calling her...
Yeah.
For her to do investigations, and she's deleting them.
Yeah.
And it's like... And we see throughout the series... that she's not a good investigator. All she does is Google people.
Yeah.
Even the cop calls her out on that. He's like, you can't be a private investigator if you use Google.
Yeah.
And she never really gets better. She keeps, when Elliot Serrano was on the show a couple weeks ago, this was his idea, so I want to credit him. We had all just started it, and he said, the problem was she keeps making bad decisions, but she keeps making the same bad decision of like, she keeps telling everybody, I'll handle it. And then she screws it up. And like, she never seems to grow from that. She never seems to get better. And then the whole thing, she spends 13 episodes of going like, well, I don't know how to confront this guy. And then, oh, I confront this guy, but I don't know how to stop him without killing him. And then in the final episode, she just kills him.
Yeah, but I think that was, she wasn't trying to kill him because that other girl was in jail, and she needed him to testify so that other girl can get out of jail. Then when that other girl committed suicide.
But she also didn't want to commit murder. That was another thing about
it.
It was a Man of Steel ending.
Yeah, this ending didn't bother me because she's not Superman. She's not the... You know, this is another thing I heard online. Everyone was saying, oh, I've just watched Jessica Jones. Now I can't watch Supergirl. Because, like...
Yeah, I saw that article, too. And it I haven't seen any Supergirl.
Me neither.
So I haven't weighed in.
But basically, that's insane and sexist. Because it's basically saying, there's only room for one type of female superhero, and it's Jessica Jones.
Right.
That's why we have Wolverine and Superman and Spider-Man and Cyclops and, you know, Captain America and Iron Man. It's like there's a million different versions of dudes. There could be a million different female superheroes. So that's like this asinine argument.
Yeah,
that
it's ridiculous.
It is. And it's...
I've also people say now they can't watch Doctor Who.
That's,
after watching
that's
David
a little
Tennant.
Bit different because the guy plays, if you like ruin David Tennant for you, then well.
Yeah, honestly.
That just means he's a good actor.
Yeah, he's risen in my esteem. Actually, I was at TARDIS last week, and we actually did a panel on TARDIS last week, and I'll run that as an episode. We had a lot of fun. But Elliot was interviewing Bern Gorman, and somebody asked, like, what do you think of David Tennant? And they said, well, I can't watch David Tennant anymore. He goes, I think it's great. It shows what a great actor he is.
Yeah.
And it shows how much range he has because he's never played anything like this.
Right.
And I would say he's the best Marvel villain we've had next to Tom Hiddleston as Loki.
Yeah. And the Kingpin isn't that far behind. And
no, D'Onofrio is very close.
And that just, it kind of shows you like all these other villains they've had, like guys like the Red Skull should have been great because it was a great actor and he looked great. Kind of forgettable.
Yep. Ultron.
Ultron. Great actor. great villain in the comics, kind of a miss in the movie.
Right.
You know,
Ronan.
Same thing. I love that dude who played Ronan. He was in that Pushing Daisies episode in Fall, which was like this phenomenal movie.
He was the elf in The Hobbit.
Yeah.
Lee Pace is in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that it seems like the Marvel movies, they've been so lighthearted and so fun. And we opened this episode saying that why is DC so dark? Marvel's been lighthearted, which is the opposite of the comic companies in history.
Yeah.
Because DC is always the Justice League. They're all shiny and clean and white and male, and they live in clean cities except for Batman. And people have called Batman the only Marvel hero in the DC universe because he has emotional flaws and he lives in this dirty, dingy city and he can't really make a difference. And Marvel was built on that. Marvel was built on superheroes with problems. The X-Men are
misfits and
outsiders. And the victims of racism.
Yeah.
You know, Spider-Man is neurotic. The Fantastic Four can't get along with each other. And,
Half the Avengers are criminals.
Yeah, Daredevil is disabled.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, it's the DC universe that's dark. But in the Marvel universe, what we get is this squeaky, clean cinematic universe of like, we're the Guardians of the Galaxy, we're outlaws, but we're fun.
Yeah.
And nothing wrong with that. It's great. And even the network shows, Agent Carter and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are still like, we're the good guys and these guys are tough, but we'll beat them. And then on Netflix, we have that dirty, dingy Marvel universe.
Yeah.
And I think Luke Cage is going to go deep into that.
I think so. And that's kind of the thing, to get back to your point about Jessica Jones or that character, is that this is the superhero who's not, has no business being a superhero. This is the person who's, I think we've all met people where they repeatedly make the worst decision for themselves. And it's like, I don't mind seeing that as an arc for a character. You know, maybe necessarily they didn't do as much with her as they
could. But I would say it's not an arc, because I feel like she's pretty much the same person at the end. She doesn't go into like, well, I finally put the Purple Man behind me and I learned how to be a hero and how to be a private investigator. And on an uplifting note, you would have changed that last scene from her deleting those messages to her coming in the office and somebody sitting there and she's like, let me know how I can help.
Yeah.
That would have been an arc.
And they definitely do a lot more of that in the comic. And I think at the end of the show, when they have like that kid, her neighbor, like Malcolm, alias investigator, how can we help? It's basically the two of them together will be the investigation.
Yeah, but it ends with the neighbor doing it for her. And she's not doing anything.
Oh, yet. Right.
And that really bothered me. And, that minor things of like, I mean, as much as I enjoyed seeing like a female-led show with a female showrunner, when there are moments where it's not good, where it starts to become like a Lifetime movie, where it's like they're constantly the victims of men, you know, and then the one guy who's nice is unavailable. And that bothered me, but I was like, well, we're creating a female type superhero show.
Right.
Those are the kind of shows we can lean on.
I can't remember who did it. This is not my joke, but somebody posted on Twitter or somewhere on the internet and they were like, yeah, I'm watching this Jessica Jones show and it just seems like all the guys in the show are kind of dopey or need rescuing all the time or like walking around out their shirts on like eye candy. Oh, that's what that's
like. Yeah, I saw that.
And it's like, that's a kind of a great point is like...
Yeah, and I feel like, you know what? Maybe I deserve to have to sit through like bad cookie cutter men for a while after watching every Bond movie over and over again.
But I think like culturally, I think it's like, this is what every show is like to girls. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's something to see where, you know, I like the show. I wasn't really sold on her as an actress. I'm glad that Patsy Walker...
Rachel Taylor was great in this.
Kind of a curveball. I didn't know they were going to...
I kind of wanted to see
I want a Hellcat so bad.
Well, they said the reason they used Hellcat is because...
It's supposed to be Carol Danvers.
And we're getting a Ms. Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Or a Captain Marvel movie. I get them.
We're
getting a Captain Marvel movie. They're obviously not going to show the movie character for the first time on a Netflix show and then give her a movie.
Yeah.
They're gonna wait until this movie is ready and then announce their actress.
Yeah, and it works. Like in the Alias comic, Ms. Marvel, as she was at the time, is kind of like the go-to. Her like superhero best friend, she kind of knows, but yeah, they don't have like a good relationship.
And I like their relationship.
Yeah, and they kind of, you know, put Hellcat in this role, which worked, and then it further expands, like, the Marvel Universe of, like, all right, well, if somebody wants Hellcat, you know, we've got her. Yeah. You know, just like they've got a Mockingbird now in S.H.I.E.L.D. that
right.
they can introduce if they need to.
Right, and she's not going to be connected to Hawkeye in any way, but she's in the show.
Yeah.
Unless down the road they want to do it. Yeah, there were a couple of things that bothered me. Like, thinking of Rachel Taylor, I thought she was good, but there was, like, there were a lot of people making, like, the worst decision. The Nuke episode bugged me a lot.
Yeah.
The cop who becomes Nuke, which is a character from Daredevil, like, who is in the Frank Miller series where he's a guy addicted to drugs and he takes, like, pills that pump up his adrenaline and then he takes pills that are depressants to bring him down and then pills that are to keep him even. And basically he's a drug addict soldier, which is a really interesting
thing, he's part of the Super Soldier Serum process where Captain America takes a serum in the 40s, gets his powers. This guy comes later in, like, the 60s or 70s. It's like the
80s,
government...
Yeah.
Still trying to figure out right. how to make a super soldier. So this guy's like a part of that program.
And this guy, obviously they casted him to be Nuke, but I didn't trust him from the beginning when he's like a cop and he's taken over by the Purple Man.
Yeah.
And then when he comes back and apologizes, I didn't buy it. I was like, there's something wrong with this guy.
That was
and obviously they hired a guy that would be menacing more than sympathetic.
Yeah.
They looked for a menacing guy who could play sympathetic, not a sympathetic guy
who could play menacing.
But what really bothers me, that fight felt very Lifetime movie of, like, it felt like the abusive husband kind of movie. That bugged me. And then also the way the movie ends of, like, hey, he was a nice guy for four episodes. Then he started taking these pills and he went crazy. The only way to stop him is for me to take the pills, even though we threw the antidote out the window.
Yeah.
And then that doesn't change her character at all. It's not like these pills give her the powers and then she becomes Hellcat.
Right.
It's like she goes to the hospital. Nobody knows what's wrong with her. But then the next episode, she's okay.
Yeah, it did seem a little weak that she was okay later, because I thought when she took the pill, I'm like, oh, okay, well, maybe this is the way
make her a superhero.
That's how you get her to be a superhero, because her origin in the comics is stupid.
Tell the origin of the Hellcat.
All right, when I say it's stupid, I mean it's awesome in the comics. It's basically the Avengers are raiding a warehouse looking for, like, the Serpent Crown, which, Google it. And Hellcat, like, works in the warehouse, or she's, like, a person who works for this company, but, like, now knows they're bad and wants to help fight them, and she might be dating the Beast at this point. I'm not sure. And,
if you're,
like,
dating the Beast, you should know it.
You should. And then, like, they accidentally knock over a crate in the warehouse, and it's got, like, the cat costume, which I guess was, like, a hero from, like, the
40s. Golden Age, I think.
Yeah, like, Golden Age character. And then Captain America's like, all right, we're fighting, like, the Zodiac or whoever. We need more Avengers. Why don't you put that costume on? It'll give you superpowers and you could be an Avenger. And then...
So it's kind of like the very lame version of the speech Hawkeye gives Scarlet Witch in Age of Ultron.
Yeah, it's like that.
You know, if you go out the door, you're an Avenger.
Right.
And Captain America's like,
if you put on that suit, you're an Avenger. And then, like, immediately he's like, oh, I don't know why I said that. Don't do that. And so that's basically... This is basically how... Patsy Walker gets her superpowers. The suit gave her, like, cat powers and shit. So in this show, when she takes the pill, I'm like, well, that's a little bit more believable than I found a costume in a warehouse.
But then she doesn't. She actually ends the...
She ends the story...
She ends the entire series as a victim.
Well, no, because I think
well,
she...
What happens is at the end is that Kilgrave, the Purple Man, takes control of her, and he's like, well, if I can't have you, I'm going to just steal your best friend and you're never going to get her back.
Yeah.
And then Jessica Jones basically breaks his neck. And then she's fine. It's like after that arc of, like, her trying to be the hero, she just kind of, she ends the series passively. A lot of these characters are too passive.
Well, I think she's the character that through the whole show is pushing Jessica Jones to want to be a hero. You could do this and you could do this. So this character, like the Patsy Walker in the comic books, is the character of, like, very, like, into hero worship. And she's one of those people that wants to be an Avenger, but has always been kind of on the sidelines. So she sees Jessica as her way into that. She's the one who's training and learning how to fight. And so she can defend herself and all this other shit. And then she finishes the fight with Nuke. When the series ends, after Jessica kills the Purple Man, it's Patsy Walker. I don't even know what her name is in the show, whatever they came up with. But that's the character where she's investigating where Jessica got her powers from. She gets all those files from her mom, and it looks like the next season will be the two of them trying to solve all right, if you got your powers from this place, and Nuke got his powers from this place, and Luke Cage maybe got his powers from here, and the Purple Man maybe got, who else is out there with superpowers?
Right, and we were saying maybe that's
the second season, I think.
And maybe that's the company that made the chemicals that blinded Daredevil. I'm thinking maybe that's the Defenders.
Yeah.
Because if it's connecting all these characters,
right,
that gives them a reason to be together for 13 episodes.
So start bringing all these guys together.
Yeah, I did have some problems with it. I thought this would have made a great like 9-episode miniseries, and I felt like by the time we got to 13 episodes, we repeated a lot of the same beats.
But
like Kilgrave gets away in the same fashion a few times.
But I like the idea that
there were times I felt like we've already been here.
Well, I think they did a lot. I think I liked Kilgrave getting away, because if you're not going to kill that guy, how do you stop a guy like that? You can't. And I think they did so much more with what a character with those kinds of powers could do than they've ever done in the comics, where it's kind of like, yep, other than killing that guy, I am at a loss as to like what to do to stop a guy like that. Even like with her powers, it's like she doesn't have any, you know, she gets the immunity from whatever, the virus or whatever they're calling it, just from like build up over so many months or years. But it's like,
right, and I think her super strength tied into it.
Yeah, there's really no other way to fight that kind of guy though without killing him. So I think they did enough. It was interesting, I thought, when he would get away, it's like, yeah, you can't interact with him. There, it just kept showing. They kept trying to do it. They kept trying to get this guy to capture
him. I would have loved it if it was just more fitting to the theme without like, even breaking his neck was just like, it didn't really tie anything together for me. Like, it would have been cooler to me if she like ripped out his tongue.
Yeah.
And was like, well, now you know, if you control everybody with your speech, now you can't talk anymore.
Right.
You know, and kind of when they, that middle to late episode would have been a great ending for me, when they lock him up in that like sealed container with water and a live wire, and they can shock him whenever he says something.
Yeah.
But the most important thing is they can turn his communication off.
Right.
And like, he can't talk. And that's what they would do if they put him in the vault.
Right.
I felt like there should have been something a little more to close that circle thematically, instead of just like, oh, we got to kill him, so we killed him, and then that's it. There were just things that didn't come together for me. And, you know, what was interesting was Melissa Rosenberg was the showrunner of this. And I realized, hey, why isn't this working for me the way Daredevil worked for me? And then I looked at Daredevil. And Daredevil was originally run by Drew Goddard, who sadly quit after 2 episodes because he got the job to direct the Sinister Six movie, which now is not happening.
How pissed off do you think he is?
Yeah. So he handed over to Stephen S. DeKnight, who did the rest of the series.
Yeah.
And that series was so good that you don't see a change.
Right.
It's not like it shifts mid-season. But the thing about Drew Goddard and Stephen S. DeKnight is they were both guys that worked for Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
And they both worked on Buffy. So not only do they know Joss Whedon, so if part of Joss Whedon's contract was checking in on the TV shows and be like, hey guys, remember me? You know what? Why don't you make Kingpin do this? I was looking at Melissa Rosenberg's credit. You'll think I'm making this up.
Yeah.
She worked on Birds of Prey.
Okay.
She worked on The OC. And her biggest credit is she wrote all the Twilight movies.
Ugh.
Which have the most passive female protagonist ever.
Yeah.
And it's like, a lot of it comes down to the showrunner. It's not just, hey, Jeff Loeb's running the TV shows and they're all going to look like this.
Right.
You know.
Or
Kevin Feige's running the movies. They're all going to be the same.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Jon Favreau's Iron Man was not James Gunn's Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, there's a difference in style. And I felt like when I saw those credits, I was like, oh, that's...
Yeah.
What's bugging me? It's coming from this track that I do not appreciate.
Yeah.
So we're way over. We're like at an hour 12 because we had to yell at Batman versus Superman for so long. But I think we'll just skip Greatest Thing in the World. But you can follow us on Facebook, and you can listen to us on iTunes and Stitcher if you're not subscribing already. The latest 50 episodes are on iTunes, but you can find all of them at caffeinatedcomics.blogspot.com, which previous guests have asked where my episode went.
They've inquired. Looking at you, Nick.
They're still there. And you can follow me at Not On My Book on Twitter. That is the only feed for Caffeinated Comics and Steven.
Until I get a Twitter.
That's not going to happen.
Maybe. I have a phone now.
I dare you.
I'm at 19 South LaGrange Road at Camaras Comics.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not On My Book production.
Take that, meatball!